Hello, and welcome to the Uncharted Faith Podcast. I am your co-host, Amber, a.k.a. Amber Bear.
And I am, a.k.a. Alton McKinley. I'm going to get that down one of these days. Pastor McKinley here.
Okay, and today we're going to talk about supporting people's faith journey. So we're going to get into it. But to kick us off, we're going to start out with a little fill-in-the-blank quiz. And again, I'm going to give you a pen and pad.
It's no multiple choices.
Fill-in-the-blank. And it's going to go from easy to medium to hard. So get your phone out right now. Let me see how many I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask 9 questions. All right, let's just get ready. And it's going to be about our topic. And it's going to be filling in the blank of these passages. So yeah, it's going to be real. It's going to go from easy to medium to hard. So we might get a laugh out of this. This might be a fun little clip. So I'm just going to run through them like we did last time. And then we're going to go back for the answers after. All right. And I'm going to give you a little bit of context. Maybe that'll help. Matthew 7:1. Blank not, that ye be not judged. Start off easy. You got 3 easy, 3 medium, 3 hard. Romans 14:1. As for the one who is weak and blank, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Matthew 7:5. You blank. First get the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Mm-hmm.
All right, going into the medium question. Romans 14:2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth blank. Matthew 7:3. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the blank that is in your own eye? Romans 14:3. The one who eats everything is not to look down on the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat must not criticize or pass judgment on the one who eats everything, for blank has accepted him. All right, hard and or bonus round, depending on how this goes. Matthew 7:2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye blank, it shall be measured to you again. That might be a little hard because of the version it's in. Romans 14:3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass blank on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him.
Okay.
Matthew 7:4. Or how can ye say to your brother, let me get the speck out of your eye, when there is a blank in your own eye? I did not review these questions, so don't come for me to lost some hard. It might be hard for somebody. All right, we're going to review. What was your answer for number 1?
Judge.
Number 2? You do have to be able to read your own handwriting.
What was the question?
As for the one who is weak and blank, welcome him, but knowledge. Not to quarrel.
Knowledge or spirit.
Faith. Number 3?
Hypocrite.
All right. And number 4? Or 1?
4. No meat.
Herbs. Or vegetable. Another.
See, the version.
The version gets you. Number 5?
Plank or boulder.
Log.
Plank.
Version. Number 6.
Christ.
God. Number 7.
Read that over. Okay.
For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye blank, it shall be measured to you again.
It's going to be render or judge.
I would say so. This version in King James, it says meet.
Yeah. In render.
M-E-T-E. So, yeah. Okay. And number 8.
Judgment.
Yes. And a number 9?
Boulder, plank. That's because I had too many different versions.
That kind of takes us right into our topic, which I'm not sure if I addressed, which is acknowledging and respecting each other's faith walk or faith journeys, spiritual journeys. How do you want to? I got to stick to one thing when I'm talking. So respecting each other's faith journey. What verse comes to mind when you think of that topic?
You hit on Matthew, the 7th chapter, but the whole Sermon on the Mountaintop speaks of growth, speaks of the Beatitudes. Then it goes into letting your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify God. Then it goes into, you know, if somebody offends you, go to them. Yeah, I'm just trying to walk through those that passage that you gave. But we got to study to show ourselves approved. We are to be about helping others to grow. Paul often talked about that in Philippians and Thessalonians, to help each other grow. And so no one verse comes to mind, but the idea that Jesus says, I come first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, that he had a plan that all may be saved. And so even within his group, the ones who was following him, there was those who were at different levels. And that's why he spoke in parables, so that everybody can learn, everybody can get it. Because you can go, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes were so heavy and high that they kind of left the common man out. And so it was always them dictating to those who are lesser. Paul often says, I come to all men, those who were smart, those who were middle class, those who were barbarians, those who was in the, he says, I come that all. And then I'll end on this one. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. He preached out away from town, where he preached a simple salvation cry to those, you know, repent and come to the Lord, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And so he made it very basic and simple. And he was baptizing people left and right. And then he had disciples, because later on the disciples says, well, John the Baptist teaches his people how to pray. Mm-hmm. And that's when God teaches. So I'm rambling. There's not one particular verse. I think the whole New Testament speaks to different levels of people. And even Paul's letters are written to different levels and classes of people.
I just wanted to get your fresh take before I give you what I already have written down. So we can allude to, I have both Romans 14, 1 and 3 up, as well as Matthew 7, 1 and 5. So I'm going to read again the Amplified version real quick for y'all. For the Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Do not judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged unfairly. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. In accordance with that measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you. Why do you look at the insignificant speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice and acknowledge the egregious? Egregious. I've never read that word out loud. Acknowledge the egregious log that is in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me get the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First get the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And then let me go ahead and go up to Romans. This is it. Let me not read the wrong thing. As for Romans 14, 1 and 3. As for one whose faith is weak, accept him into your fellowship, but not for the purpose of quarreling over his opinions. One man's faith permits him to eat everything, while the weak believer eats only vegetables, to avoid eating ritually unclean meat or something previously considered unclean. The one who eats everything is not to look down on the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat must not criticize or pass judgment on the one who eats everything, for God has accepted him.
Every time I hear that verse, when you read through Romans, and we did a deep dive in Romans years ago at the church, and we walked through it, we can't even get along, and we tear down other religions. And so this idea that one central thing is Jesus Christ. If we can agree that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died on the cross and rose on the third day, everything else is insignificant.
Right.
But we get hung up on everything after that. And so I find myself saying, everything I do, I'm first to serve God and what he wants me to do. And if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose the third day, we can discuss anything else and just say that it becomes more of your individual interpretation. I'm gonna sit here and argue with you.
Right.
That's on a bigger stage.
Yeah.
But see, when you go to that level and then you get down lower, all of us are at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in church is not on the same level spiritual, because you have people that have been walking in the word. I'm not talking about age-wise, but just walking in the word, and they're stronger. It has nothing to do with age. You got those who are just you can have a person who's 65 years old and just coming to the Lord.
Right.
So you don't expect, oh, that person. No, that person is a baby in Christ. So you have to adjust your conversation to such. And then we can't criticize when a person accepts Christ. We have to love them in that condition. And I'm a firm believer that a person can accept Christ with their last breath.
Mm-hmm.
And they will go to heaven. And so that's why we struggle with this idea of, you ask a question, and Paul says there, is that whoever we have coming in, we're not just trying to beat them over the head and slap them. And for those who don't know, go to YouTube and search Fred Sanford and Son. You'll see what with Esther, you'll see what I'm talking about. But you can't beat people to spiritual maturity.
Right.
And so you got to talk and work with them. And that gets back to your first part with Jesus saying, if I want to go out there and rough you up to get you to Christ, then I'm missing the whole point. So
right.
There's a bigger problem with my
self-reflection at that point.
So then he says, you hypocrite, because you're the worst of it, because you're trying to change somebody else while you're not changing,
mm-hmm.
while you're not growing. And that's what this idea that us growing does not make us perfect. There's no way possible for us to be perfect in the flesh. We're always striving for perfection, never attaining it. And so if we are never attaining it and we're always striving, there's always room for us to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are still growing, we can't complain about somebody else's growing just because we passed that stage already. So look at
right. it don't look the same, or it doesn't have the same outcomes. Or for instance, we're nerds. We're the type that we'll research, we'll look into stuff. You're like, oh, I'm gonna read this little sentence, and it turns into I read the whole paragraph, I read the whole chapter. Now you done got lost in it. Whereas I'm not gonna speak for your spouse, but for my spouse, he's not gonna get lost in reading in the. Well, I'm not gonna speak that on him. Maybe that'll change in the future. But we can't look at our own selves and see how we naturally flourish and judge for someone else for not flourishing in that same mechanism, where they might have a different talent and it may come in a different way. They might have a better secret hidden prayer life than our researching life. So we can't discredit other people's walks just because it looks different.
Because we can't be upset with how people, how they teach, how they read, how they do whatever. We're not here to make clones
yeah.
of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be clone of Jesus.
I thought about a couple of things, but I don't know about how well I can expound on it. But just that thought of, I think people get misconstrued going back to the different churches and different segments of Christian religion or whatever you want to say. I think people get too caught up in, well, because we have a difference of opinion, I need to see my opinion through, rather than kind of a iron sharpens iron type of thing. It's okay to, at the end of the day, none of us is going to get it right. So it's okay for you to have your opinion about it, how I have my opinion. Both of it kind of sparks our interest in it, and it starts a conversation, but it's not to deteriorate that fellowship and to break off and to branch off and to say, well, okay, well, keep yourself over here and I'm going to do this. Like, I think that is the opposite of what God is trying to do with bringing, making us different, making us have a different perspective. Like, that kind of just, what's the word? That kind of taints like the purpose of what he's like doing is for us to be collaborative and for us to work together and to still have a difference of opinion, but to recognize that it's all about God at the end of the day, and that's who we're coming to serve, and to look at it in that point of view rather than making it about self and what you would prefer.
To understand that piece, that when a person has a different opinion, okay, what does the Bible say on that? And the idea that
not to lean to my own understanding. What is my understanding based upon? It's based upon the framework in which I was trained in. So the idea of what my grandmother and my old church taught me was one thing, but let me dig into the word to make sure that they didn't miss something, because we can preach and teach based upon our own thoughts, tone of view.
The key is, like when you said, is one to another, not you to them. You place yourself above as you're the only one that can dish out, or the one that can give or add to the conversation, instead of, no, it's an exchange. It's a, like I said, it's a collaboration. So that's all I have to say about that.
No, because and there are some Baptists who believe, you know, you should wear certain things, you should do those things. It is not a biblical base, it's their cultural context right. that brings in. And so once we filter out all of that, to be honest, because some stuff that was in place 100 years ago is not in place now.
Right.
Some beliefs and some structure have changed. Why? Because each generation brings their own thought to it.
Right.
And so how do you combat that? Preach the Bible.
Yeah. And not just what's the now, or what your flavor is, what your preference is.
And not you know, it's some people who will teach and preach on stuff that's not, as long as it doesn't hit them.
They want to be able to be braggable. Oh, I don't do that though. You won't catch me doing that. So I'm gonna talk about this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. We'll never do talk about any of the stuff that I have to wrestle with.
And I tell people all the time, everybody who listens to this is out to lie. You get pulled over from a cop. Oh, I ain't not on speed, and you know you said you had your thing at 80 miles an hour. Oh, I'm in a hurry going somewhere. No, you left late, and so you should have been on time. So given the right opportunity, we will all lie. And that don't start when we turn 30. The I don't know if you seen the video, or and one of y'all seen the video with the kid. He was 1 year old. Ice cream chocolate all on his face. He said, "Did you touch this?" No. And it's all on his body. No. So when we start talking from, and I guess we get back to our main topic of this, was how do you deal with people at different levels, different walks, a different positions in their faith. You deal with people as individual. We condemn people out of the church, not out of their salvation, but out of the church, because we are so phony and fake in church.
Mm-hmm.
There's no vulnerability in church. That's the reality people live with, that I'm not getting this right every day. I'm not getting this right at the church. I'm not always in this. The joy of the Lord is my salvation.
Right.
Sometimes I'm mad. I say, I look at God, I'm tired of this. And so that's when people hear that, they can marry it up. They don't want to hear, I prayed all the glory, I didn't sin. I can't be wrong with you, because that's not who I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we miss that piece. We try to make people think it's got to be perfect. If you could be perfect, then there's no need for the cross. If you can be perfect, there's no need for Jesus' blood to cover you. If you can do this, and I think that's the basis of this idea, it says that I need Jesus every day. And I know the song that said, I need a little Jesus, I need a whole lot of Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And someday, I need an extra scoop of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you tell people that, people are laughing and say, oh yeah, they connect, because I'm struggling with the idea that I am struggling. And if people know I'm struggling, they don't wear their church. Well, if you're struggling at your church because all folk around you are perfect, we got seats for unperfect people. And we got a seat for you, because we are a bunch of unperfect people that are being guided by a perfect God. And so, and look here, and there's room in our church for anybody who is struggling with his identity that you can't get it right.
I think part of it is like this misinterpretation that once you come to Christ, you're supposed to change, and it's supposed to be instant, and it's supposed to be overnight, it's supposed to be obvious. There's no growing period. People just expect once you're baptized, you need to go be marching the streets up and down with a sign saying I'm a Jesus freak. Like, we are called to be light. We are called to be example, not to be a nag or a judge, like we said. That's not our place to say, this is what I do and this is what you're supposed to do. I wake up at 5 a.m. Instead of coming from that space, instead of being concerned and going out of your way to give unsolicited advice, just show up being who God called you to be. Be an example of what it looks like to be a devoted Christian, an active member in the kingdom. What that faithfulness in real life looks like, rather than just picking at somebody. And I wanted to take it to somewhere else, but if you wanted to have a...
The basic thing that Jesus says, let your light shine. And when that is that the only light we have is God in us. And I don't want to be a monologue, but he says that when you show your light, you're trying to put your best foot forward. He called that your good works. And so instead of me criticizing, I'm building up. Instead of me being frustrated, I'm showing patience. So when you look at the word light, and then one thing says, we'll dig into that. It says that let your light so shine that then your good works, and that's what God is working in you. It's saying that I'm patient, I'm loving, I'm caring. Those things, because when we don't do that, we're doing the opposite.
Right.
We all once was dark, but now we the light. And not that we are in dark, but we are traveling through darkness to be a light. And so if I was to put anything, we'll call it a light, which encompasses so many different things. Matter of fact, we might need to dig into that, because even in my sermon, I said that leads back to God.
Mm-hmm.
It does not have anything to do with us, because the light in us is Christ.
Right.
And everything that we do good is Him. Too often, we do good and take credit for it. If we do good and we want to pat on the back, we do good, we want to be able to say, hey, I did this, and you know, this makes you a super Christian. Then you miss the whole point.
Yeah.
The good works are not to be glory to you, but glory to God. So
you could even say, in how we use that light is very essential, because y'all don't see it, but we got these lights in the background. And I'm sure if I shove this light further into your face, you'll be ready to turn off that light for one. If not, viciously push it back. So we can't weaponize our light. We can't. Oh, I was gonna say something else. We can weaponize the pizza or nothing.
No, that you know what? That is a deep thought, because we do weaponize the light. We use it as a threat. God didn't threaten anybody. He says it's your choice.
I don't want to cut you off, but that's reminding me, because we're talking about light. God didn't say I'm putting a light in your face. He said I will be a lamp unto your feet. He put the light where it needs to go. Okay. He didn't just...
I told you that whole light thing, it just, when you dig into it, it just means more than that's just this little light of mine. But it comes with, I'm just walking around the light, just... The light then has to be actionable.
Purposeful.
That the light I'm showing, there is something that I'm doing in it. What's the use you walk around light and you're not saying it to nobody else?
Or people turning away from you or putting on sunglasses. You're destroying the purpose of the light.
Because what happens if you're in the dark and the light is shining on you too quickly?
Yeah, you get blinded. You gotta recuperate, get your footing.
And you don't want nothing to do with it no more.
But turn it off, please. I'm not ready. We may not know. We're coming in with our big spotlight, and they just needed a little reading lamp light for this current moment in time.
But you said it. You're not shy. If you really think what you just said, you said it's a lamp unto our feet. So if God is using you to be a light,
It's not to blind the person. It's to lead. It's to lead the person. Mm-hmm. You're being a help to a person instead of a hindrance.
Right.
Because if you put the light in my face, it's a hindrance. But if you put it in my pathway, I say, and don't take this wrong, what fool, as the Bible said, would not want to be led out of something instead of blinded and still stumbling? You put it in my face, it's like, okay, I'm going to be defensive.
Yeah, can't do anything now. Can't see anything.
Man, if you don't get that out of my face, you put it in my path and say, oh man, thank you for, man, I didn't see that. Man, how do you do that? It's the Father in heaven. Good works. I'm helping you. That was all you. You said that. He says that you want to come blind somebody. Again, from that context of when Jesus gave that in his teaching, that was a powerful example of what you do with a light. You make it so that people can use it to move forward, not because like you blinded me today. I just can't see nothing. I can't flow. I can't flow because you got these special lights today.
Okay, so just because, like you said, we was going off the dome. We're just having great conversation. So in case we did not fulfill everything that you wanted us to talk about, go ahead and comment below. What take did you want us to catch on for this topic about being supportive and being gracious in other people's faith journeys and respecting that it's going to look different and that time will never put you on the same level as somebody else? Or to catch all the categories that they are best in, that you are best in. So I want to give you a couple of takeaways, how you can support others in their journey. You can just actively listen. God gave you one mouth and two ears for a reason. Use those ears, be an active listener. Don't interrupt or judge with your own ideas of what your own beliefs or experiences. Be present whenever that person does come to you in whatever that moment is. Don't be multitasking in this person's time of vulnerability. Go ahead and give them all of your attention so that you are able to accurately assess the situation and apply whatever knowledge you have for the discussion at hand. Encourage and affirm them. Be positive and note the progress or efforts that this person is displaying and being vulnerable to you in that moment. And trust in God's timing. Have faith that God is guiding their journey in his timing, so it's not about you. And it never was. Okay. And just remember what we talked about today, about how are you using your life, purposely using your life in your, you close this out. Because I don't
think you actually made very good points about being present. I'm going to just add this piece. If you're a person who have heard and you're struggling with your own walk, be confident in this one thing. He that started a good work in you shall fulfill it and work on it until the coming of Jesus Christ. So where you are today, you're not going to be in that same place if you take a step. So don't let anybody else discourage you on your own journey. My journey is not my daughter's journey, and I never expect her to be the same journey. My hope is that at one point she comes to her own realization of her faith walk and realizing it never ends until we get to heaven. So whoever you are on this journey, I do not want to just look at your speck in your eyes. But we all are trying to make sure we clear the planks out of our own eyes that we might be better lights to those who are in the world. Till next time, be blessed.
Y'all have a great week.
Bye.